HarperCollins and Harper Audio present 1974, A Personal History by Francine Prose. This is the author. That world. These days it's all been erased, and they've rolled it up like a scroll and put it away somewhere. Yes, I can touch it with my fingers. But where is it? Dennis Johnson. In those days, I would follow anyone who offered me so much as a sardine. St. Teresa of Avila. San Francisco, winter 1974. There was less traffic then. At 10 on a weekday night, Tony could take his 10-year-old putty-colored Buick up to 55 and slam bounce up and down the hills along Taylor Street. Maybe Tony thought that someone was following him. He certainly thought so later. Maybe he was right all along. He kept checking his rearview mirror. He'd make sharp U-turns and veer into alleys. He had every reason to suspect that he was under surveillance, and he drove like someone trying to elude whoever was pursuing him. He said that we were right to be afraid. He said that he was living proof of what could happen if you pissed off the wrong people. Actually, the right people, the government and the military, the criminals and the liars. He said they'd been working against us for years, and that it would take courage and determination to defeat them. He said that if we told the truth, if we tried to talk about what happened, they called us paranoid. That was more or less what I thought, and I liked hearing him say it. I was always looking for things we had in common, maybe because on the surface we must have seemed so different. He was Southern. I'd grown up in New York. He was an aerospace engineer turned radical activist. I'd published a novel and was about to publish another. I was in my 20s. He was 10 years older. I had long dark hair. He was bald with a shoulder-length fringe. I was at the beginning of my career as a writer, and he was beginning to think that his career was over. We both cared about politics. We both liked stories. We both liked to laugh. We were both less easygoing than we tried to appear. We often talked about books. It turned out that Gravity's Rainbow was one of our favorite novels. It spoke to our belief that history and the forces that shaped it were in every way more sinister than the most evil scenarios we could imagine. In 1974, fans of Thomas Pynchon's dense, confusing, 700-page conspiracy novel felt as if we'd found one another, recognized fellow what? A group of people who distrusted groups. What did we take from the book? There is an order and a plan, but it's not the natural order, and it's certainly not God's plan. It's more likely the wicked scheme of Nazi war criminals operating an armaments and pharmaceutical conglomerate, manufacturing Zyklon B gas and the V-2 rocket. That wasn't paranoia. That was just facing the facts. Tony said we were right to worry. The impulse to destroy is as deep as the desire to create. When he was a kid in Virginia, he had a rogue history teacher who told his class that the reason humans are the only species that kills its own kind was because of some evil Egyptian poison in the apple that Eve gave Adam. Word got out, and the teacher was fired. Tony's science teacher told his students that wasn't true. He wasn't going to touch Adam and Eve, but he said that many animals are as bad or worse than humans when it comes to brutalizing their own kind. Lions, bears, primates, kangaroos, meerkats. I said, probably we're the only species that makes money from killing one another. Exactly, said Tony. Precisely. That's our meerkat nature. So it will happen again. Stronger countries invading weaker countries, larger countries swallowing smaller ones.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?